Well, good morning. Welcome, everyone. So glad to see all of you this morning. A couple announcements as we begin. If you have your bulletins, just a reminder as we get close to Easter here, note that on next Sunday, Palm Sunday, April 2nd, we will be having our Love Feast here following morning worship. So look forward to that. I always look forward to the Love Feast. Everyone is invited to stay and participate if you'd like to. It is a foot washing service, but there's also hand washing available also if you don't feel comfortable with that. Or you can just come and observe. That's also just an opportunity. So it's a nice service. It will have communion. We'll have communion during that service. And so I hope you take advantage of that. Also, following that week, next week after, of course, Easter Sunday, we'll have Easter sunrise service at Natural Chimneys. That starts at 7 a.m. It's always right in front of the chimneys themselves. So just go all the way back, and you'll see people gathering back there. I'm supposed to share that morning message. Also, Easter Sunday here at the church, we will be having breakfast. The youth will be serving, of course, and help with a lot of adults too, but they will be serving an Easter sunrise breakfast here, or just an Easter breakfast. I hope that you come and be a part of that. They will take a free will offering for that, and that's just going, the offering that is taken will go straight to the Moscow Youth Program here, so we appreciate all the donations for that. There's a couple other announcements. Of course, you'll just look through that and see that. One note there, the Easter egg hunt will be here April 1st. I made a mistake there. It says Sunday, but that's Saturday. Don't get confused on that. It's Saturday at 1 p.m. And we'll gather here and have the egg hunt. It's always a success. So invite the community, the kids in the community. I hope we have a good crowd here. We always have a lot of eggs to find. And we have a good time together. So I hope that you get the word out on that. Note, after service today, we are having our spring CBM. But first, of course, we're having our fellowship meal. And I hope that you stay and be a part of that. This Sunday is kind of a special Sunday because we are celebrating a Sunday of unity and fellowship within the Covenant Brethren. All the Covenant Brethren churches. And right around us, there's three of us, just in this couple miles here from our church. And so I think there's six in total in our district, but across the United States and even in Africa, churches are joining together today in celebration of unity and fellowship. And so it's a special Sunday for that, and we're glad that we can join together with all the other Covenant Brethren churches in that celebration. Are there any other announcements that you'd like to share? Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this celebration of fellowship and unity. Lord, we are truly your body, the body of Christ. And we are the family of God, even as we've shared in that hymn. And Lord, we're just so glad to be a part of the family of God. We call each other brothers and sisters. And Lord, we just thank you that you've made us a part of this great fellowship. Not only this fellowship right here at Moscow, but Lord, we're part of a bigger fellowship, your church. And Lord, that extends beyond our borders here. Lord, it extends all around your world. And Lord, we're just thankful that we're a part of this brotherhood, this sisterhood of fellowship in your church. Lord, we just praise you together as we come and join as your church here today, this morning. Lord, we just praise you. We praise your Son, Jesus. He is the one who makes us your family, the family of God. And Lord, we just thank you that we're a part of that family here this morning. Bless us, I pray, in this worship. Bless us, I pray, in our time spent in fellowship and unity. And Lord, we just praise you for that. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. going to stand together for our call to worship. Find this in the inside of your bulletins. This coming from portions of Hebrews 10 and also Matthew chapter 18. It says, "Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep His promise. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep His promise. He is not. Let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near. I am there in the midst of them." Let's turn our hymnals, page 287. Our God has made us one, page 287. Seated. Certainly, God has made us one church. Beautiful hymn. Okay, I want to take just a couple moments to gather up any prayer requests or praises that you would like to share. A couple things I'd like you to put on your list on your prayer list. First of all, would you be in prayer for Sean Cook? He's pastor at Parnassus Church. The Methodist Church in Parnassus, and Sean's dad has passed away this past week. He went to go to be home with Jesus, and our prayers are with Sean and that family now as they seek to console each other and to find hope there in God. Just be in prayer for Sean. Please lift him and his family up in prayers. I know this has been quite difficult for him, and our prayers are with him and his family. Also, if you would lift up the family of Fred Bowman. Maybe some of you recognize that name. Fred actually served here, I believe, at one point or another as pastor. But he had served so many places as interim pastor or pastor. And so we just want to praise the Lord for the good work that Brother Fred did and many of our churches here in this area and abroad. His work within the Church of the Brethren, the district, the denomination. He wore a lot of hats, and he served in a lot of different capacities to serve the church. And so we appreciate that service. Now, Moscow appreciates that service. And I just ask you to be in prayer for that Fred Bowman family, if you would. Also, we got a little update on Savannah Miller. We've been kind of keeping her in our prayers. Lee shared with me before they went on vacation that she had received the transplant, the blood transfusion, I believe, and that was going good, although she was needing our prayers that this it takes weeks. I can't think they have to kind of suppress the immune system and those sort of things. And so they're just, the families continue to ask prayers that this would continue to be a success for her, and they just want our prayers. So if you would, just continue to lift Savannah up in prayer. Also, I got word from Kenny Morgans that his mother was not doing well, Kay Ayers. And so if you would, just lift Kenny Morgans, especially his mother, up in prayer, Kay, if you would. Also, I just would share a blessing. It's so blessed to have Debbie and her family here with us today. Me and Debbie are going to be sharing in special music and something that we had did at a funeral a while back, but I just enjoyed playing music on the banjo and the piano together. You wouldn't think those two instruments would go together, but they do, so it's a blessing. Well, I guess I'll let you judge if they do. Maybe I better say that. I think they do, but yeah, you'll have to judge for yourself. But it's a blessing to have her and Roger here, her family, and just blessed to have them here. So that's a blessing. Also, a blessing, it's Sherry's birthday, and what a blessing that is. And Sherry's doing so well. She's continuing to recover from her surgery. We're just thankful for that. And Sherry, just glad that you're doing well and that you get to celebrate another birthday with a new hip and hopefully on a new path of no pain.
Yes.
So that's, yes, absolutely. So anyways, we celebrate that as well. Okay, are there other prayer requests or praises that you'd like to share? Dana? Yeah.
Because of all those prayers, I received numerous cards and
calls.
Phone calls.
Yeah.
It was just, it's been a quite an ordeal for 4 or 5 weeks.
Yep.
Looks like I'm starting to come through it, and hopefully they can figure out exactly.
Right.
Thank each one of you from the bottom of my heart.
Absolutely. We're going to continue to pray for you. And you got a son, too, that's praying for you. A preacher's son, so that helps. Maybe that adds a little something there, right? Yeah. Certainly, we're glad to see you here, Dana, and glad you're doing well. We praise the Lord for that good report, and we're praying that they can get to the bottom of what's causing your trouble. Thank you for sharing that. Others that would like to share prayer requests, praises? Robin? Okay. Be in prayer for Kelly, Robin, Sharon, that he's having surgery. What day did you say? I didn't hear that.
On Thursday.
Okay.
He has a busted eardrum.
Oh. Well, we're praying that they can take care of that Thursday and get that fixed. So, Robin, thank you.
Daryl Cook.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Daryl Cook family. Other praises or prayer requests? With that, I'm going to call now on our ushers to come forward and to collect our tithes and our offerings. Let's stand together. Let's share together in the doxology. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this morning with our prayer request, Lord. Those things on our heart, those people, those names on our heart, Lord, like Sean and others who have lost loved ones, the Bowman, the Cook family, Lord. And Lord, we just lift all these families up to you, Lord. Just pray that these people, you will have your will, and Lord, that your miracle will continue to happen here upon earth. Lord, we just offer our prayer request to you, Lord, knowing that you can and you will do good things. And you hear our request, you hear our plea, and Lord, you desire to answer us. Lord, we thank you for all the answered prayers that we have. Lord, but again, we bring these prayer requests to you new, even this morning. And Lord, we pray your will be done. Lord, we thank you for the fellowship of the church. Lord, we thank you for the family which we have right here. Lord, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, you've made us connected by blood, your blood, even the blood of your Son Jesus. Lord, we thank you that we have this family that we can depend on, that, Lord, that we encourage one another in the faith. And, Lord, when we're sad, we can weep on each other's shoulder. Lord, we need that in this world today. We need that help. And, Lord, we thank you that you provide that family we need right here. Lord, this is our family here, but, Lord, this will be our family as well when we enter into your kingdom. That family, this is an eternal family, Lord, that we have here. And Lord, for that we celebrate. Lord, bless those who have given. Lord, pray that you continue to bless us and bless those givers. And Lord, pray that you continue to bless the ministry, not only here at Moscow, but around us, Lord, these churches. Lord, they need your blessing. And the covenant brethren, Lord, we continue to pray a blessing upon this new denomination. Lord, we just pray that your people would continue to pick up their cross and do the work of Jesus here upon the earth. Lord, we praise you this morning. It's in these prayers we pray. In your blessed name, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. If it was in tune, and I said, I'm not sure if a banjo is ever really in tune. That's right. We had one practice. That's my excuse.
I don't have one.
She doesn't have one. She's good. She needs no excuse. Thank you. I told you they could go together, didn't I? You wouldn't think they would go together. In fact, when she asked me to do that music with her the first time, I thought, oh, I've never heard a piano and a banjo together. But they do go together well. And thank you, Debbie. I appreciate that. Okay, our children's church can be dismissed. Our youth Sunday school can be dismissed. If you would, turn with me to Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. This scripture that I'm sharing with you this morning was kind of picked from the denomination. I believe all the churches that are gathering together in this celebration of fellowship are joining together with this common verse, or verses, out of Acts 2. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. And again, you'll see here, even in verse 42, this idea of fellowship within this new church, first church there in the book of Acts. It says, "And they continued steadfastly," this is speaking of the church, "in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And then fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done through the apostles, and now all who believe were together and had all things in common." Isn't that a beautiful verse? I just like that verse right there. This tells you there was unity within the church. There was fellowship. There was this togetherness. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And then there, verse 44, all who believe were together and had all things in common. Verse 45, they sold their possessions and goods. This is those things that they had in excess. They didn't need. They knew they could help others with it. And they divided them among all as anyone had need. And so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Oh, what a church this was, right? What a church to be a part of. They were praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Boy, that's just an amazing account of the first church there in Jerusalem, wasn't it? Just a beautiful church. You could obviously see the Spirit of God was working through this church. They were together. They were of one accord. Doesn't speak of divisions at this point. Doesn't speak of there being quarrels in the church or that sort of thing. They were together. They were excited. They were doing the Lord's work. And they weren't forsaking the coming together. And that's what the Bible tells us even in Hebrews this morning when we were looking at our call to worship. Hebrews chapter 10 says, "Let us hold unwaveringly to the hope we profess." Hebrews 10, 23 and 25, through 25. "For he who promises or promised is faithful, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds." And then it says, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing." Already there in the book of Hebrews, Paul's pointing out there were some that were in the habit of not going to church. Isn't that something? He said there are some that aren't going to church. They didn't see going to church the importance of fellowshipping, of being together, as important. Maybe there were some, he says here, that are in the habit of doing. But let us encourage, he goes on to say, one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. That is, as you see that the time is drawing near, as Jesus is coming soon, we are to spur each other, encourage each other to be a part of the church, to put the church first, put the work of the Lord first, and to come together, not to get out of the habit of going to church. And that's what Paul's saying to the Hebrew church. That's what he's saying to us. That's the church we see here in the book of Acts, a church that was fellowshipping, that were worshiping together. They were dedicating their lives to the service of God, and they were doing it together in the church. I think that says a lot, doesn't it? It's important to be together, isn't it? It's important to be part of a fellowship, to be part of a church, to work together hand in hand. It's important for those relationships to be a part of those relationships within the church. We need that in our Christian life. We need that encouragement. We need that strength from one another. It's not easy being an island in Christianity. We need to be a part. God wants us to be a part of a fellowship so that we can gain that strength from one another and encourage one another to the work of the church. Story was told that the children at this local Christian school were supposed to bring something to show for show and tell there at the school that would illustrate what they did, or illustrate something that was important in their church. So the first was this little freckled-faced boy, and he got up and he said, "I'm Baptist." And he pulled out this big Bible and began to tell the class about how important the Bible was and how important that was within the church. Well, the next little girl, she got up for show and tell, and she brought out a crucifix, a cross. And she was from the Catholic Church, and she shared about how important the crucifix was within their worship and in their church. Now it was displayed throughout the church, and she shared that. Well, the next, this little plain-dressed boy in the back, he got up, pulled something out of his backpack, and went to the front, and he presented it and said, "This is a casserole dish, and I'm brethren." Sometimes we think fellowship is all about eating, don't we? It goes much deeper than the casserole dish. Fellowship is more than just eating good food. Although, if we look at Scripture, though, a lot of the fellowship that Jesus did was around food. We think of some of the miracles that Jesus provided, some of the greatest miracles, was when He broke the loaves and the fish, and He fed the multitudes. And so there was this time of fellowship. Jesus enjoyed a good meal, didn't He? It reminds me that the last scene we see of Jesus here in His earthly form, really it was in His resurrected body. Remember where He was? He was beside the Sea of Galilee, and He was at a fish fry. Remember that? They were around the campfire, Him and His disciples. Of course, that's when He spurred Peter back to the ministry, didn't He? "Go feed My sheep." That's when He gives him this commandment. But there's this, it's around a meal. Jesus is there breaking bread, having this meal with the disciples. So there's a lot of fellowship that happens around a meal. And we continue to do that today within the church, don't we? As we will even today. Sadly, too many people today are missing or not seeing the value in fellowship. You're seeing a change within the church. I guess you could blame COVID for some of it. Maybe we blame COVID for too much, though. Sometimes we have to take some responsibility for our own actions, right? Can't blame it on something else. But sadly, too many people today are just not seeing the value in fellowship. Many churches have went online. That's where they worship, online. They don't get together at all. Their pastor is on a screen. And that's how that works. Some have traded the traditional church in for TV ministry. Now understand, I'm not talking about the shut-ins here. There are situations where people can't come to church. Don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about that. There's certainly those that need a ministry like that that help them in that time. But I'm talking about able-bodied people that are able to get out through the week just fine, but on Sunday they refuse to be a part of a fellowship. They listen to YouTube sermons. They exempt themselves from fellowship and the work of the local church. To this end, many have found themselves today. TV church attendance cannot be a replacement for the traditional church today. It can't. Not for those able-bodied believers. What would happen in the church? What would happen to the churches in America if we all just stopped coming? Maybe we just started listening to the TV ministries or the YouTube sermons. What would happen to the work of the church? Look at the good at the church provides for the community and the ministries that we do. The things that we accomplish, we can accomplish them together, right? That work has to be done together. And I think much of the ministry within the United States would dry up quickly if we just stopped fellowshipping and going to church. It's an important part of Christianity, fellowship. Listen, the word that's used here in verse 41, I believe it is there. No, verse 42 rather, is the word koinonia, which is the word here's being interpreted as fellowship. Doctrine and koinonia is the word there. That's the Greek word. It means partnership. It means participation. It means interaction. That's literally what the word means. Koinonia. They were in partnership. They were in participation of that church. They were in interaction with one another. It's translated in the scriptures as the words communication, fellowship, and even at times communion. Communion. We use that speaking of our relationship with God, don't we? That communion we have with God. That koinonia. That same koinonia that we have with God was being also exampled within the church. It carries with it this deep meaning of intimate relationship between two or more people and describes what we Christians share with Jesus and what we should share with one another. Koinonia. We are a koinonia church. We are a group of fellowship that is devoted to partnership and interaction with one another. The early church enjoyed that koinonia, didn't they? We see a church that enjoyed this relationship, this close relationship with one another. And, if you think about it, really, the Bible is the story of broken koinonia. If you look back to Genesis, remember the first scripture that we come to in Genesis 3:8 there, we see that the Lord had come down into the garden after, of course, Adam and Eve had sinned. And He was there in the cool of the day, it says, and He was there to fellowship, to koinonia with Adam and Eve. But note there, they had sinned. They had sinned. And there was this brokenness between God and man. God would come down. It seems as if we read that He would come down regularly and He would fellowship with Adam and Eve. They would walk together. I like a good walk. And you can have great conversation in a walk. And you can enjoy another person and their company in a walk. And it seems like God was walking. He was fellowshipping with Adam and Eve there in the garden. But He came down that day and He was looking for them. And they had hid themselves, the Bible says. Why'd they hide themselves? They were ashamed, weren't they? They were ashamed of their sin. And they tried to cover their sin, didn't they? They grabbed some leaves and tried to cover their nakedness. And they knew that they were naked. And so we see that this brokenness of fellowship is really what God sent His Son to recover. He wanted to bring back that fellowship between man and God, and of course that fellowship with us within the church through Christ. So I think it's buzzing, yeah. And so we see here this brokenness of relationship in the book of Genesis, and we see here in the New Testament that God came to restore that brokenness of relationship between Himself and us. Now I want to give you just quickly, what are some ways that we fellowship with God in the church and with one another? Well, we fellowship here in worship, don't we? When you come to church, you probably this morning when you came to church, before you sit down, you was already doing some fellowshipping. Maybe you were shaking some hands. Maybe you were smiling and greeting people and just sharing that welcome smile I know we had our greeters out there, so I know you got at least one handshake as you come through the door. But hopefully you've got others as well. And that is a part of that fellowship, isn't it? Even as we come to worship, we're taking part in that fellowship, that unity, as we come and we gather here together in the sanctuary. We fellowship as well when we're singing hymns, aren't we? We're joining together. I like when our voices come together and we're singing together. There's a unity in that, isn't it? Even though we all have different voices, we all have different sounds, when those voices come together, they blend, don't they, into a beautiful harmony. I was listening to the choir practicing. Well, I was part of it, but I was listening as well to the choir practicing in the fellowship hall before service, and just how beautiful the voices come together. At times, they're singing different notes, but those notes complement each other. They're different, but they're the same. They're together, and they're in unity and harmony. And so it's even in our singing, it's in our worship where we come together with unity and we employ that koinonia that God requires of us. The fellowship of our prayers, I think. We join together in common prayer, don't we? We pray, but we are praying as one. We're offering our prayers to God as one people. Prayers of thanksgiving, prayers of intercessory. These things are testify of that koinonia as we come together in prayer and pray those prayers to God. I think we also, in our fellowship time as well, that certainly is another way we, again, share that fellowship within the church. Afterwards, we'll have a meal, and that's another opportunity to fellowship and join together as God's church. You see a church that is, here in Acts, you see this church that is together, that seems to be unified. They seem to be, working together, enjoying each other's company. Hopefully that's what you'll do as well when we go into our fellowship hall and with the carry-in meal. Lastly, I think we see it as well even within the business of the church. And we'll do that today too with the congregational business meeting. We come together, don't we? We are koinonia as we are joining together in the business of the church. And we work together at that. The Bible talks about the church as being like the body having different parts and functions. But we're all working together. You know, my hand is different than my foot. My ear is different than my eye. They have different purpose, don't they? But they're all working together to make me function. My hands need to do something. My feet need to carry me. My eyes need to see where I'm going. My ears need to hear what's going on around me. They're all working together. Even though they're different, even though they have different functions, even though they have different gifts and talents, they're all important, right? I don't want to lose a part of the body. And each of us have different functions. We have different gifts, don't we? We have different roles. But the Bible would go to say, is the foot any less than the eye? Or is the ear any less than the tongue? They all have purpose, don't they? We don't want to lose any of our body parts. But we want to see them all working together in unison to accomplish our mission. Okay, what are the benefits of fellowship within the church? Well, we have the benefit of building each other up, this encouragement, this support for one another. We have the benefit of helping each other, offering spiritual support, especially for those that are weak or suffering. Talked earlier about, when there's sadness or sorrow, we kind of come around and support each other. When there's sickness, we offer prayers for one another. There's a lot of benefit in this help in which we offer, not physically, spiritually, mentally even. I think as well it's this the benefit of fellowship is teaching each other especially the children, how to practice unity and love. I think that's so big today. There's a generation that is coming forth that seems to know very little about fellowship or unity or love for each other. I don't know about you, but it just seems like on media, social media maybe, even in the news, there just seems to be an overabundance of violence. Everywhere I look, it seems I'm seeing some person committing violence against another person. Whether it's road rage, two people jumping out of a car and fighting each other in the middle of the street, or if it's in the workplace, it's in the home, if it's relationship-wise. This seems to be a lot of violence, doesn't it? Our world is slowly becoming a violent place. It's getting worse and worse, I think. Either that or the media stream is just feeding me more of it. Maybe that's true too, I don't know. But sure does seem like I see more of it now on the news, around the world, and in our own America. We need to teach an example how to love one another, don't we? Listen, the church has got to be that role model. They're not getting it anywhere else. And we need to teach our children what it means to love each other, not to resort to slander and calling each other names, but to rise above that. That's what the world does. That's not supposed to be the church, is it? We're supposed to embrace one another, love one another, encourage one another. If you want the abuse of the world, well, you can find that anywhere. But we're supposed to example something different from that. And our children need to see that. I think that maybe that's why this younger generation is turning to violence, because they do not see it anymore. They don't find it in their home. They don't see it in their schools. And unfortunately, they're not part of a church. And in some churches, they act just like the schools and the workplaces and everything else. Sad, isn't it? I think some churches you can find more division in them than you would outside in a secular group. Shouldn't be. And that shouldn't be for us. It can't be for us. We can't call ourselves Christian if we're going to be divided and hate each other. The Bible says, well, they'll know you're Christians by your love. They'll know you're my disciples because of your love for one another, is what Jesus said. We have to find unity. This first church, the Spirit of God was moving, and they found unity with one another. They found relationship and friendship with one another. And they witnessed unity and love, and noticed there that the community they were in were just excited by it. So they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and the breaking of bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. Notice the community seeing what was going on at the church. And they said, boy, that is something good. We're not finding that in our schools. We're not finding that in our workplaces. We're not even finding it in our homes. But we're seeing it in the church. And that's where I want to be a part of. I want to be a part of that unity too. We need to example this unity. Our children need to see that. These are forgotten lessons. And it's so important that we teach them, especially within the church. Number four, we promote and we encourage each other, don't we? Service begins is based on love for one another. When we go out and serve, we do it out of love for those that need help. And so it promotes, it encourages service within the church, serving others. And number five, it helps to build the bond of brotherhood and sisterhood, fellowship. We grow as brothers and sisters in Christ. Listen, that's a relationship that will extend beyond this world, isn't it? The relationships within the church, they're here now, right? But they're eternal. Praise God for that. What other relationship can you name that is eternal? Not marriage. Some might say, well, marriage is eternal. Nope. Lord said in heaven, they're neither given in marriage or received in marriage. Not even the angels are married. There's no marriage in heaven. That relationship doesn't extend. Well, you say maybe the relationship within the family. Mom, dad, brother, sister. There's no guarantee of that eternity either. Not unless they're saved. That's the only way you get to heaven, friends. The relationship that is eternal is the fellowship, the brotherhood, the sisterhood within the church. That will carry on forever and ever and ever. Isn't that great? These relationships that you build now within the church will carry on right into eternity. Marriage isn't going into heaven. Relationships of parenting, mom, dad, brother, sister. It's only that relationship that we have with Christ and with one another. Okay, I realize, kind of in conclusion, that it's not easy necessarily to put ourselves in relationship here at church and that fellowship, that it would be a lot easier to just stay home, wouldn't it? To not have to put ourselves out there, but and to not make ourselves maybe uncomfortable of being around others. Maybe that's work for some people. Some people are more extroverts, or some people are more introverts. Maybe it's a little more work for some to be around others, and it's mentally exhausting, but it's worthy. We need to do it. To accomplish our mission within the church, we need each other. We are a koinonia church. We are a fellowship, unity, togetherness. We are a community, and we are a community with God and with each other. We are a koinonia church, and we have to live that out each and every day. Okay, let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for the fellowship that you've given us here at Moscow. Lord, thank you for the fellowship you've given us within the covenant brethren even, and that unity we find there as we strive together in unison to do the work of the church, Lord, to serve you and to share your good news. Lord, we find unity there, we find common ground, and Lord, we find fellowship in that relationship. And Lord, we thank you for it. Lord, I just pray you continue to bless this fellowship here at Moscow and continue to join us together as your church. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Okay, we're going to stand now and gather in our closing hymn. And I want you to turn to page 285, In Christ There Is No East or West. And then I'll offer a blessing for the meal following the service. And I don't see Michelle or any of that group in here. They'll give you instructions. I'll kind of put it on them. They'll give you instructions. Hopefully we'll be able to just move right into the or fellowship hall and have the meal. So let's gather now in song. Page 285. Thank you. listen, I want all of you, if you can, if possible, stay. There's plenty of food. Join together in that fellowship. We'll continue to experience koinonia right there in the fellowship hall. So I invite each of you to come and be a part of the meal. Let us just bow our heads for a blessing for the meal. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that we are your church, that we are your body. Lord, we thank you that you have brought us together as your church right here at Moscow. Lord, we pray that we live up to that word, koinonia, that togetherness, that unity that we've seen within the first church there in Jerusalem. Lord, you've given us an example of, Lord, how we're to be that church of koinonia today. Lord, I pray a blessing upon the meal. Bless it to the nourishment of our body. Lord, thank you for each person that has prepared the meal. Bless their hands, I pray, that prepared it. And Lord, bless each one that receives it. Lord, strengthen us for the journey. Lord, strengthen us for the work that you've called us to within the church. Lord, we each are a part of your church. And Lord, we have a special place in your church. And Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we just praise you now. Bless us as we go. Watch over us this week till we meet again. In Christ Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen.